exploring some of the Upper Cumberland's other residents.
Typically, it falls back down to we're essentially trying to investigate the past, because the people or the spirits that we interact with were people in the past.
Our paranormal history today in the Upper Cumberland. A recent poll found that 41% of Americans say they believe in ghosts. 20% say they have personally experienced one. The Cookeville Ghost Hunters believe in ghosts, or at least that there's some form of activity that we don't totally understand. Brandon Milam, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
How did you get interested in ghosts?
So the answer to that probably goes back to my childhood. My great-grandfather on my mom's side was born and raised in Adams, Tennessee. And so growing up, I heard the story of the Bell Witch, which is probably the first ghost story I ever heard. And that's what kind of kickstarted my fascination. And then it wasn't really until about a couple years ago with my job that I was able to make enough money that I could afford equipment and that I found people who were interested in it as I was. And so we had started the group, Cookeville Ghost Hunters, about three and a half years ago. And since then, we've been to just many locations that I've wanted to be at since childhood.
Do you still run into people who say, now come on, Brandon, there's no such thing as ghosts?
More often than you would think. I get it probably about every couple weeks or so. Like, I'll make educational posts on my Facebook page. Some people will just say, well, ghosts don't exist. Pretty much when we started, we were trying to prove to ourselves that ghosts exist. But now more so, based on our experience and having to or being able to help other people, we've come to realize that while they do exist, it's a matter of what are they rather than do they exist, if that answer makes any sense.
Yeah, it does, because I'm sitting here thinking that probably where the definition starts is what is a ghost? You know, is a ghost the portrayal of Hollywood or Halloween that, you know, there's something in a white sheet that's floating through the air, or is it something else? So how do you define a ghost?
So I will go ahead and say a lot of people with their understanding of ghosts coming from Hollywood, I'll go and say that's inaccurate. Even ancient societies, going back to the ancient Greeks, they understood ghosts to the point that they were able to categorize them into three different types based on how they died, just as natural causes, or if a person was murdered, died a tragic death. When a person dies, it's merely just an imprint, not the individual deceased person themselves. So while the kind of the idea of a ghost differs, even ancient societies had some conceptualization of them. And so with me personally, based on our research, I would consider that ghosts, I would say the Sumerians got it more accurate based on our research, that there's imprints that sometimes you can interact with, intelligent or the sentient hauntings, and then there'd be some you can't interact with. Probably my most favorite place is Gettysburg, where people will go to see like war reenactments and whatnot. And then you hear stories how people will say that, oh, we saw an reenactor walking up a hill, but there wasn't any reenactions going on at that point. It was like a person dressed in an outfit. That would be an example of a residual haunting. You can't really interact with them. It's just basically like a on loop playing over and over. And then when it comes to like a sentient haunting, we've had many clients call us out, and when we're able to interact with what's there, what's been affecting the family, that would be what I would consider a intelligent or a sentient haunting.
Is a ghost the same thing in your mind, the way you think of it, as, you know, being in a space and feeling the presence of someone?
I would say they're very similar. Most of the time when you're at active location, such as Waverly Hills, which was a fascinating place. But most of the time, you're not going to see something. Like, you might see something out of the corner of your eye, but that's not quite frequent. More times than not, it's how you feel. Like, you're going to feel things such as, like, a temperature drop, or you're going to feel that someone's watching you when you're by yourself, like you're the only one on a floor, and you feel like you're being watched. So I think it goes back to more of a feeling than anything.
Brandon Milam is our guest. He is head of Cookeville Ghost Hunters. We're going to find out about that organization when we come back next. Brandon Milam is our guest. Cookeville Ghost Hunters, what is that?
So that is a group that was started 3 years ago, back in 2021, I believe in April. Basically, it was a culmination of my childhood fascinations. I remember growing up, there was a TV show called Paranormal State. Like, before all the other shows were big, that's what my mom and I grew up watching. And I will say, because my great-grandfather, as I mentioned earlier, was on my mom's side, she really helped with my fascination. And then when we heard of this new TV show coming out called Ghost Adventures, that also started to increase my fascination. And then when I was able to get enough money, thanks to my job, we started. Because I'll be honest with you, it is the most expensive hobby I have ever had.
Why?
The equipment, as cheap as dowsing rods, the same type of equipment that you can use for what was called water witching, like finding water underground, you can also use those. And then it can get real expensive to a device called an ovulus, basically a box that detects different measurements, electromagnetic, temperature changes, and whatnot. And then it takes these different measurements and it populates words based on a word bank within the device, which I believe there's like 2,000 to 3,000 words in the box, if I'm not mistaken. And so oftentimes it'll populate words, and then you have to take your understanding or your knowledge of the location you're at, and you have to compare the words you get from the ovulus to the data that you have on hand. Sometimes they'll give words that mean literally nothing, and then sometimes they'll give words that are spot on accurate. And this little box right here was about $600.
Define paranormal.
Paranormal, my definition would be it's the normal that is not yet understood. Because essentially death is normal. We're all going to die. It's just a matter of, do we understand it?
Understand it in terms of what happens after? Is that what we're talking about, that we don't understand?
Yes, essentially it's what we do. Different religions, they'll try to explain in their own ways what happens after death. The study of the paranormal field is through our equipment, not using other religions. It's just a matter of, how can we as individuals study what happens after death?
So a ghost hunter, and I don't say this in jest, please don't take it that way.
Oh, no.
But a ghost hunter, do people get that confused with, like, Ghostbusters?
Every time. Even at my job, or my previous job, that was my nickname, unfortunately, because it wasn't really taken seriously. I would say there is a difference specifically between a paranormal researcher and a ghost hunter. The ghost hunter is more, from my perspective and based on what I have encountered, they're more in it for like a entertainment value. They're wanting to get a good scare, if you will. They're wanting to thrill seek, while a paranormal researcher uses the equipment to try to understand things beyond themselves.
It strikes me as we move through our conversation, Brandon, that it's almost like, on one hand, it's the people who want to see something move. They want to see a spirit pop up in the air. They want to see, you know, or they want to hear the sounds of chains rattling, or all those different things that have been talked about in stories. And then there is the more scientific part of this, of trying to understand, are there things that are happening out there that we don't completely understand? Do you think I'm reading that correctly?
I would say you're reading that as correctly as I do, yes. I got in it to try to prove it to myself. So initially I was part of the first camp you had mentioned, but then later on, as I started getting more experienced into this, I started taking the position of the latter, trying to understand this rather than, oh, can you please just have something happen in front of me? Can you scare me out of this building or what have you?
Brandon Milam is our guest, Cookeville Ghost Hunters. We'll find out more about their work as we continue. Cookeville Ghost Hunters is the organization. Brandon Milam helps in leading that organization. We'll tell you how you can get involved here in just a couple of minutes. So what do you do? I mean, does somebody say, hey, I've heard something about this house or this neighborhood or this piece of land? And I mean, is that kind of how it starts?
Sometimes that's kind of how it can start. Most of the time it's based on our research. For example, every Friday, it's like every other Friday, we'll go out to a location. Most of the time, it is a cemetery that we go to, which just real briefly about cemeteries. It's one of the better places to go to in terms of investigating. But for anyone listening, I do want y'all to understand that most, but not all, cemeteries are public property. So it is not illegal, per se, to go to a cemetery. There are some other places that we go to, and if anyone is interested, there is a location about 15, 20 minutes north of us out in Gainsborough. It is called the Gaines House, which was a Civil War field hospital and is the oldest house still standing. A group that I often investigate with called Curious Things Investigations, they're the ones that host investigations there. And then the money made from investigating goes back into the Gaines House to help its restoration. But pretty much just places you can go to. Always be sure that you are legally allowed to be there. And if whatever reason you're chased off by law enforcement or what have you, oblige. There's no point in just trying to say, no, we want to stay. If you're allowed to be there, you're allowed to be there. But if you're not, don't go.
I'm curious about the cemetery part. I mean, do you find people who say that, you know, that you're not being respectful of those that are buried there?
Yes. Not as often, though. I did have one person allegedly threaten to kill me over doing that, which is why I'm no longer a part of that group of people. But I would say for people who tell us that it's disrespectful, it's not really. And if anyone would like to know why, you can feel free to join us, to reach out to us. I have no problem with anyone coming along on an investigation with us. But when we conduct our research, we always do it in a respectful manner. And if somehow, whether through the ovulus or any other device, we get the feeling that we don't need to be there anymore, that something or whatever's there wants us to leave, we leave. We don't antagonize, because things will happen when you antagonize, just not things that you want to happen. So being respectful is at the front part of our research.
From where you started as a young person interested in this topic to where you are now, are you convinced that, I mean, how do you want to say it? Ghost, paranormal, are you convinced that it exists?
I am convinced that it exists, but more so I'm still not at the point to, with clear certainty of what it is. I'm still not quite at that point yet.
So what the it is? How do you define that? That's what you're still trying to kind of figure out in your own mind?
Yes, because based on my experiences, especially with helping clients who've come to us fearing for their lives, I have seen I know I sound like a crazy person when I say this, but I have seen things with my own eyes. Like even going back to the first time I helped a client, this woman terrified, whatever this entity was attacking her children. And to hear her story, hear how scared in her voice she was, and then to look down the hallway of where she lived to just see this figure, this just shadow thing looking right at me, and to think, what are you? And I had even had it recorded on my phone, this same exact figure, but unfortunately, switching over phones, that is one piece of evidence I lost. But to this day, I am convinced that there is something that we do not fully understand. It's just a matter of what is this that we're trying to understand.
Brandon Milam is our guest. In our final moments with Brandon Milam of the Cookeville Ghost Hunters, how do people get involved with the organization if they'd like to learn more about what you do or would like to go along?
So if people want to learn more about it, we'd be more than glad to have them join us on investigation to understand how these actually work. The best way to reach out to us is our Facebook page, which is Cookeville Ghost Hunters. You can reach out to us through a Facebook Messenger. Typically, I respond within a couple minutes, or you can reach out to us by our email, which is CookevilleGhostHunters@gmail.com. Although I might not be as responsive.
Do you understand people who are like, I don't go for this. I don't believe it.
I do. I do actually understand. And it to me, it's completely normal. Based on my research, my experiences, people who don't have experiences cannot relate. And that is one thing I've had to come to understand. Is I can tell about my experiences all day long till I'm blue in the face, but it won't change someone's opinions. It won't change their thoughts because they themselves haven't had an experience. So to me, that is completely reasonable to have that position.